I experienced this once. It was completely quiet. No one passed by, I saw no one going to work, no one, and it was completely silent. I thought to myself, it's just not that time yet, they'll come. But I had the feeling, it's going to be a long time before this hustle and bustle starts on the streets and in the alleys. But then they came, and I had the feeling that they were dressed differently, and some of them had flowers in their hands, in their hair and in their clothes. It was quite clear, they were going to a party. That interested me, of course, and I thought, a party could be something for me too, and I followed them. I then took some branches from the bushes along the path and some flowers and stuck them in my dress and behind my ears so that no one would recognize me, so that there would be no difference between them and me. I thought there would be no difference, and so I mingled with the others. Then I suddenly saw that they were leaving the village. I had never dared to go that far, because I was cautious and was always worried that someone might come after me, which I didn't want. But now that everyone was coming out of the houses and walking this long way, I was sure I wouldn't attract attention. So I mingled with the crowd and took the same path. The path then led up a large ravine and there was a wonderful view. But I was cautious. I went near one person, then near the other, and I wanted to know how they spoke and what they talked about. So I heard, they were all looking forward to the festival, to the surprises, and they expressed their joy. And I did the same. When someone asked me, I was happy too and said, I have been waiting for the festival for a long time and am now happy to be taking part. That is what the others said, and I repeated it after them. The path was quite long, but it was different to walk than it had been before with the human body, with which one had dragged oneself along so laboriously. Now it was so easy, one could move so easily. Then suddenly I saw a large crowd gathered there, and people were streaming towards this crowd from all sides. This is the festival now, I thought, said. But then I suddenly noticed that among these beautifully dressed people there were also these noblemen whom I had been happy to avoid. And now, where should I go? Now I was too far away from the familiar surroundings and I could no longer sneak away so easily. In the meantime a commotion had arisen, music and a lot of noise could be heard. But there were so many of these noblemen among the others and I wanted to weave my way through everywhere. Suddenly someone grabbed my arm and said to me, Albert, you don't belong here. Go back. I didn't dare say anything and walked away from the person who had grabbed me and walked slightly backwards. But then I tried again because I thought, how does he even know that my name is Albert? And why does he say, you don't belong here? I belong in this new homeland too. Why do they want to expel me? It was God's will that I live here. Why are they sending me away? So I simply went to the other side and tried to get into the crowd from there. Then it happened again. Someone came, grabbed me by the arm and said, Albert, you don't belong here. Get out of here. I was very intimidated. I was scared and thought, how do they all know that my name is Albert? But I wanted to have a look at what was going on and thought, perhaps you should think about whether it wouldn't be better if you asked if there was any work to be done. But then I saw that a large ring had been drawn, a kind of barrier. And I noticed that I wasn't the only one trying to get through, others had tried too. But everyone was grabbed, whether their name was Albert or something else, everyone had to leave, had to make their way back. Then I thought to myself, yes, if the others meet me there, they will all see that I simply don't belong or that I'm an outsider. What should I do? Maybe I can lie down somewhere nearby. I tried that, but I was grabbed again and was told again, get out of here, you don't belong here. Then I plucked up courage and said, the you go, the you go, the you go, what do I have to do to belong here? I want to belong here too. Yes, only those who have made a contribution to this celebration are allowed to take part. Those who have been invited are here, you are not invited. But then you can invite me now, I said, I want to belong here too. Then he said, no, 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 you are much too lazy and too lazy to work. We don't reward laziness here with such beautiful festivals. I'm not lazy, I said, I'm ready to do the hardest work right away. Then one of them said to me, now go back to where you came from, wherever you are lying or standing, it doesn't matter. You don't belong here. Go back, I'll remember you then. He said this very forcefully. I had no choice but to retreat again. And then I saw, I wasn't alone, they were coming from other directions too, and they were just as dejected as I was. Then I took the flowers I had put in my pocket and threw them away, so I'm not one of them. Why do I need the flowers here that I decorated myself with for the festival? As far as I'm concerned, they can all see that I don't belong here. I didn't want any more flowers on me and left. Then I met someone who said to me, did they also? Yes, I said, they sent me away too. Yes, why? I don't know, I said, I don't know why I have to leave. Yes, where are you going? I was advised to go back to the same place I came from. I don't know, I'm very unhappy. And the other said, yes, I think we make mistakes, because if the others in the same village are doing well, why shouldn't we be doing well? We definitely make mistakes. And I asked him, tell me, what were you when you were alive? What did you do for work? He said, I was a cobbler. But you know, now, in this new world, I see what I did wrong. I drank too much and I didn't provide enough for the family, I was in the pub a lot, and that's the mistake. Oh, yes, you know, I said, I went peddling and I didn't always wish people well, and I think I have to pay for that. But then we separated, we had too little interest in each other. The cobbler went his way and I went my way again and thought, okay, now I'll go to the same place where I was last and wait until the nobleman comes. Then he should tell me what to do. And I went back and there was nothing to do, everything was so quiet. The whole village was empty, everyone had gone to the festival, only a few were there and were unhappy. But then they came back and there was activity again. You could hear the happy voices. Some were singing and everyone was happy and content. I thought, poor creature me, I can't sing like them and I can't be happy. After all, I only have this meadow to lie down on, the meadow is my home, it is everything to me. So they all went back to their houses and then it started all over again. They went back to work and some were carrying something on their backs, others were pulling or rolling something forward, it was like before. But it had been a distraction, they had had a festival after all. And then came the man who had said to me, I will remember you. I was lying on the ground and he came to me and said, get up, brother, you must go to work now. Yes, yes, good. I was a little dazed on the one hand, and I had promised to do the hardest work. I said, yes, but I don't know if I'm really strong enough to do hard work. And he said, we will make sure that you have enough strength to do the work. I asked whether I could then live in a house like the others or whether the meadow would still be my home. Then he said, no, you can live in a house in the future. Of course you won't have a house for yourself, there will be many, many in the same house as you. Yes, good, I said, then guide me. What do I have to do? You will find out soon. Come with me now, come. We walked together through the village streets and suddenly he stopped in front of a beautiful house and then said, now, come in, now a different life begins. Ah. When I entered a room there was a table and they were sitting around it, all these noble people, those I had always avoided. They didn't scold me, you can't say that, but they did inspire me quite a bit. And then one of the people who was speaking said, now tell us something about your life. We would like to hear from your mouth what good deeds you have done and we would like to hear your mistakes, from your own mouth. Yes, I didn't know any good deeds, nor could I name my mistakes, I was so afraid of all these many noble people and couldn't say a word. And then they said, why don't you want to speak? You can't hide anything here, there is nothing that is not lying there in plain sight. Then I thought, why do I have to say it when they can see everything? But I didn't dare to say it. Then they spoke to me, we want to hear from you what good and bad you have done. Can you remember your life? I said, no. But they insisted, yes. They wanted to give me time and then led me into another room. I was completely alone there. I had a place to sit, a table, there were even flowers, and I was supposed to stay here and study my good deeds. But I couldn't think, I was still full of fear. There were about six of them, and one was more distinguished than the other. I thought, if only there was one, I could talk to one, but not to six together. No, that was too much for me. But then I studied and studied. What have I transgressed against? Yes, one thing was clear to me, I had cursed those who hadn't bought anything from me. But I had said thank you 1,000 times to the others who had bought something from me, and that's what I wanted to say now too. I was left in this room for quite a long time. Then someone came in and said, "So now, Albert, do you know what good and bad you have done in your life?" And I said, "Yes, 100 I think so, but I don't want to say it in front of everyone if I can tell you. You can then tell the others." "Good, then you can tell me here and I will tell my brothers." Then I said that I had cursed the people because they hadn't bought anything from me. But I also said that I had finally wished the others all the best. He then replied, "Is that all you can remember?" I said, "Yes, I always thought about that. I had to say it every day. I said thank you every day, and every day I cursed those who didn't buy anything from me." "And you have nothing else to say? Do you really remember nothing at all?" "Oh, I can't really remember." But now he could remember it, and he told me what I had sometimes taken with me, how I had sometimes argued with my neighbors, how I had become violent, caused them pain and cursed them. Not those who hadn't bought anything from me, but the other people who had come into contact with me and with whom I had gotten into arguments and with whom I had also. Yes, he knew all that, but I had forgotten everything that had happened there. He said, "You see, it's just good here. Here no one hides anything, absolutely nothing." And strangely enough, it was as if I was living as a human being again. Yes, I found myself transported back to the earthly world with these neighbors and saw everything that I had done that I shouldn't have done. So, there was nothing to deny. I had said I didn't know any more. It was made clear to me, it was clear to me, and I could no longer deny anything. He stood there and said, "Now you have experienced everything again, and you now know what you have done, what you have done." "Yes, but please, please," and I fell to my knees before him, "tell that to the others, but don't take me to them, because I can't speak very well, I can't defend myself." And he answered, "You don't need to defend yourself, we want to hear from you what you have done, you don't need to defend yourself." He seemed to have some understanding for me, poor creature, and said, "Good, I'm going to the brothers now and will present this request to them. If they agree to accept it, good. Then I'll come back to you and take you to a place of work. But if they insist that you go before them and tell them what you have done, then you must come, be prepared for it." Phew, I was scared and worried and I thought, now he knows everything. Why do I have to tell the others everything? I was left alone for a while and I was scared. And in this fear I began to pray, "Father, dear Father in heaven, help me, free me, stand by me." And I prayed as much as I could, "You saints of heaven, you must not let me down, stand by me." So I prayed loudly, loudly, and when this nobleman came in again, I continued to pray, he should see that I was a pious being, yes, that I prayed. Then he said to me, "Now my brothers have seen sense of you, and this time we will leave it like that. I have told them who you are. I have also spoken of your stupidity," he said. I didn't care, I just didn't want to stand in front of everyone. And I thanked him and was glad that at least I hadn't had to stand in front of them all. I was able to leave the room again, I didn't have to walk past them, and I breathed a sigh of relief. Then he said to me, "But Albert, I have now stood up for you, I have helped you, I have made your path easier. I will assume that in the future you will do me a favor too, that you will carry out the work you have to do to our satisfaction and not run away from it. Then you too can go to such a party next time." But someone like you now is not allowed to go to a party. You have to learn a lot first, you have to change. The need for this is there, because you still have the indifferent nature in you, that must be driven out of you. You must understand the seriousness of spiritual life, you must carry out spiritual work to our satisfaction. It is not the case here that you do not work. Those who work a lot receive a high wage, those who do not work receive nothing. All of this was a bit too much for me and had gone so quickly. But I was happy. I was more comfortable and at ease now than before. When I was still lying on this meadow, it had not been quite so comfortable for me then. Because I had known that I was now living in a new world, and it had seemed to me as if I was not accepted by this new world and as if the moment might come when I would be accepted. And that is exactly how it was. So despite everything that had happened, I was glad that the time had come and that I had been accepted. I wanted to know what work I should do and they said to me, "You saw for yourself how they pull heavy loads, and that is not so easy, because they are really heavy loads." Well, what kind of loads are they? Is it really necessary to lug around such heavy loads in the kingdom of heaven? I would understand that later, I would not have to worry about it now, but would have to learn to work. It was now about working, about the willingness, about the affirmation of work. Yes, fine. Then they went with me to a workshop. It was fully occupied, they were busy everywhere, and no one spoke, so to speak, everyone did their work. All kinds of things were being worked on there. I was told, "Do you see this big piece of wood here? It has to be taken to another workshop for processing. This piece of wood has already been processed here, and another is being done in another workshop. You must now push this big piece of wood there." I was given a suitable cart, and I had to push this heavy piece, I found it incredibly heavy, in front of me to another workshop. Then I was told, "You don't need to ask, why are they doing this? You should do the work now, and do it willingly. At least so many pieces have to be transported there before you can rest." Yes, I put the first piece down a few times. I just had the feeling that it was so heavy. Then I saw that others were doing the same work as me, some had it just as hard as I did, while others found it as easy as a toy. I didn't know why. So I did my work, I promised and I did it. After a while, I was praised for it, for my perseverance, I had done it well and I should just keep going. I was happy, glad, they were satisfied. And I was overjoyed that I was no longer lying on the lawn, I was one of the others now. Then one day someone said to me, "Now that's enough of this work, you can get to work at the workbench." They showed me the work, how I had to carve, and it had to be very precise. There were people who taught me how to handle the tools and how it had to be done. I liked this work better. Firstly, it was much easier, but it had to be exact, and secondly, I realized that there was more freedom here. There was no requirement to do a certain amount, but rather greater emphasis was placed on accuracy, it had to be exact. Then others came along and explained that it was better to do it another way. So I realized that those who were teaching me did not always agree, that others expressed a completely different opinion. But over time I joined in the conversation, became very skilled at this carving and did my work correctly. Then I was relieved again. Now the same person who had taken me or fetched me back then came to me again and said, "Well, you have done some work now. Now a different phase is beginning. You have to learn something now. In the spiritual world you have to learn too." He then took me to a school where I had to write, read and do arithmetic. So we were taught for a certain time. It was very simple things, because I had no real education in human life. I had learned nothing, there was nothing in me. It was explained that in this way, what was still deeply rooted in the innermost being would be slowly peeled out. We were not too stupid for it, but we needed a certain amount of training, then we too would be able to understand and learn many things. I was not taught alone, there were others with me. And so we had to understand the bare essentials at first, then more and more was added. We were taught about the ruling order, about the many levels, about the many villages and cities in the afterlife, about the good and the bad, the willing and the unwilling, who are in the spiritual realm, We were also told about these evil ones, how they can exercise power over people. And over time, people began to explain to us that the spiritual world, those very same nobles, can arrange for a burdened spirit being to be placed under a spiritual spell in its next human life, which means that it is then unable to see things clearly, that the spirit of this person is then, so to speak, shadowed and is considered by his fellow human beings to be not fully responsible. This spell must then be broken again after the return home in the world beyond. This happens through instruction, through work, through willingness and a readiness to make sacrifices. You are tested in various ways and then very slowly the spiritual spell that had limited you falls away. So it is not the case that you are immediately clear-headed and understand everything when you have laid aside your earthly body. Of course, this is the case with many people who have returned home, those whose genetic makeup was not such that they could have been given this intelligence. There was therefore no development, and the spiritual world works accordingly on every person. So it will add to one person while it puts another under a spell, and for another it will loosen the bindings and give them the opportunity to develop. So each person is a personality of their own. Over time it was explained to me, you were put under this spiritual spell because of an earlier fault, and this spiritual spell or limitation will remain with you for a certain time in the world beyond. So I was enlightened in this respect and then achieved this spiritual freedom through my work, through my willingness, my readiness to make sacrifices, so that I became free in my thoughts and could carry out intelligent actions. So I had regained equal rights with everyone else. I was happy. It became clear to me that everyone has to put aside their guilt when they pass over to the world beyond, that everyone expresses themselves according to their nature, just as I had done. I had not returned home as an intelligent being, I had no intelligent reasoning powers, and that is why the angelic world was considerate of me, and that is why I was allowed to enter a fairly good spiritual sphere, where there was light, where there was a lot of green and a lot of beauty to experience. In the same village as me were beings who had burdened themselves in some way or another and who were now quickly put into the work process. Those who had a large or greater burden to bear had to do hard work. After a certain time they had dealt with it and were put into more pleasant work. So in this village, at this stage, one went through a development that enabled one to have a clear view afterwards and to be faced with new tasks. One enters a better, higher sphere, where different conditions apply, where life is sometimes completely different, different expectations are placed on the individual, but where judgments are also made in a different way and great tasks are set for the individual. The spirit world of God has great expectations, it places great hope in the individual that he is capable of bearing great responsibility. And if you do not fulfill these expectations, you are reprimanded and then you do not receive a higher and better task for a long time, you must therefore practice the old work again and do it until you have this ability, this spiritual strength, in order to do higher and more important work. You should not believe that the spiritual world or God would simply give the person who comes over the blessing and give him this strength, this intelligence, this opportunity for development so that he could somehow show off or take up an important position. Everything must be learned from the ground up, must be acquired, and time plays no role in this. That is what happened to me. I then left that village, went to a higher level, was assigned completely different work, had to bear responsibilities and developed accordingly. I came out of a burdened life and freed myself. I have gained insight and am grateful to God that He has enabled me to find my way upwards on this gracious path. I was not an isolated case, there were many hundreds of thousands who had the same experience as me. And so there are still today, at this point in time, many, many who are following the same path, and the higher beings approach you with great devotion and patience and with a lot of understanding. A being that returns from earthly life and enters the new world takes everything with it from its previous world, from its thoughts, its will, and asserts itself in the other world with the same personality. That is why, in my case, this primitive thinking and acting, these primitive answers, Only with time will this be resolved and you will become free. The spiritual world also recognizes whether the individual being is good or malicious. Malicious beings are not treated with such great consideration. They are dealt with forcefully, are sent into exile, and sometimes have to endure hunger and thirst. God was merciful to me, and I was happy to reach those heights in this way. I then prevailed with zeal and goodwill, and am grateful and happy to be pursuing my task today. So I had to give you this explanation in particular in this way, that is, I was chosen or selected to give you such an explanation, to give you another instruction in this way. So I have been allowed to make these comments. I withdraw again, and my brother Joseph is standing next to me, asking about the questions. I say goodbye to you and wish you all God's protection and blessing. God's greetings. End of the recording. Edition from the first publication in the magazine Spiritual World. Spirit teacher Joseph was asked how it was still possible for this now advanced spirit to speak in the original way that was his own as a primitive human being and still in his spiritual purification. Joseph, it is possible for such a spirit, with the help of the divine beings, to transport himself back into the past so that he can present himself again in the same way. The memory is so strong. And then you must not forget, these spirit beings are being prepared for this hour here. They must answer to the higher beings for what they say here. The angels of God determine certain excerpts from their life here and from human life. These descriptions are only excerpts from a long time. So much else happened in between that it is impossible to tell everything. Certain episodes have simply been taken out and then illustrated in context. Can we also find out when Albert lived? Joseph, 70 years ago. It also seems here that the other inhabitants of this spiritual village appeared to Albert's spirit in terms of their nature and clothing as they looked as people. Joseph, he saw them that way with his eyes, with his feelings. He was still so earthbound and therefore could not see it any other way. Later, of course, like other beings who are somewhat spiritually elevated, he was able to see things more clearly. We have heard that Albert's intellect was limited in his following life due to a fault in a previous life. Was his spirit aware of this cause during his life as a peddler? Joseph, not fully. The spiritual cities and villages all have their deeper meaning, don't they? Can you say anything more about it? Joseph, I have already spoken about it before. In the spiritual world there are towns and villages, which of course differ greatly from one another. There are very large towns as well as smaller ones. There are villages, hamlets and valleys, and they are all divided into levels. I would almost like to draw a comparison with your situation on Earth. You have towns and villages that are particularly beautifully laid out, while others are not. The difference in the spiritual world, however, is that those who have earned this right live in the beautifully laid out towns, while other places, which do not have this pleasant atmosphere and are not so beautiful, house those who are in debt and who then find their town cramped. Can we assume that the spirit beings can sometimes choose their own place of residence, whether they want to move to a town or a spiritual village? For example, Joseph, it is possible that after his departure a person will be given the free choice of moving here or there if he has lived well, but he will also be shown his place of residence. Because the fact is that the home is already prepared during the time of life on Earth. So it is largely already predetermined where he will take up residence, that is, when the purification is over, he will move into the house that was prepared for him. He will only go elsewhere for a limited time if he has been allowed to do so. Because usually he is expected in the particular house and he looks forward to greeting them. It is true that he can also have a large house to himself, but then it is also intended for tasks. He will receive many visitors there and also have his duties to fulfill. So you won't just turn down what sublime divine beings have prepared and decorated for you. You will be happy to live there because you will find various things there that have a connection with the life you have lived. For example, someone who has placed great value on art in life will want appropriate interior design, and these wishes can be taken into account if you reach a high level. This is not the case in the lower levels, where you have to stay exactly where you belong. But otherwise you can sometimes express the wish to live somewhere else. But you will only do this temporarily. You will return again because you value and respect what is being built by the hands of the angelic world.